So, darkest of all millennials, how do you feel?
I'm good. I'm good. I was, I guess my spirits were lifted a little bit by seeing that there is finally an organic vegan spray tan establishment coming to the bottom of your office building.
We've been waiting, and now it's here.
And here
there's a sign. Well,
it's coming. It's coming soon.
I looked at that sign and I said, how? Okay, spray tan is inherently not.
It's artificial.
Right.
Yeah, by nature.
Then saying it's organic, to me, a struggle.
I don't know. But you know what?
Struggling.
Clearly, we're not their target market.
No. Yeah. No. It's locally grown. It's locally grown. Easy cheese.
I don't know what it is. no idea.
I don't know, man. How do you get there?
Don't know. But you look good.
Thank you. I'm top shelf this week.
Yeah. Yeah. And
our regular Monday workout here in Metro.
I was just going to ask how it went.
Prestige Worldwide reopened. And there was much joy to be had.
I doubt that.
We ran it SIPO compliant.
Uh-huh.
Got ran off a parking deck by security guards.
No way.
Yep.
A new deck or?
Newish deck.
Yeah. See, that happens at the newish decks.
Yeah, they still care.
Yeah. Yeah, they still think they can keep us out.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No, of course they can.
It's private property.
No, just, absolutely. You
know,
yeah.
I don't know. I have to concede that everybody's got biases. I do not like security guards. Never have.
Yeah.
And I find myself to be allowing myself to get antagonized by their mere presence. I saw them.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Here they can. You just start gritting your teeth.
Gritting my teeth.
Yeah. Grumbling. No, I understand.
Anyway.
The single parking deck that there is in Fort Mill, we got ran off of within about 2 weeks. C-SPAN was like, we got a deck.
Where's that?
It's a LPL down in Kingsley. It's right across from Baxter.
Oh, never even noticed it.
Yep, it's down in there.
Seems unnecessary since it's this sprawling land of surface decks.
Well, since LPL built a...
What is LPL?
I'm sorry, LPL Financial. I don't know what the LPL stands for, but they're a big financial
never
services firm. And yeah, they built a facility there, a large office building there, and so they put a deck with it. I guess presumably because it was easier and cheaper to do it that way than it was to sprawl it all over the place. I don't know. Okay. But they got a good number of people to work down in there, and so that's why they built the deck. Anyway, so they built this thing, C-SPAN... When he was still in Fort Mill, was like, "Hey, we're gonna the nation's grantan."
Who came up with that?
I don't know who came up with
it. Pretty strong.
But some of those, it was Olaf down in the fort, who hit it on Twitter the other day when you saw it.
Yeah, the nation's grantan is back.
He's back. Yeah. So we would do this thing. We would start at the high school, run a mile in, punish ourselves on the deck, and run a mile back. And since the one in Metro was called the mothership, we called this one the brothership.
Nice.
Because it was like the little brother of the mothership.
I get it.
Yeah. And then in...
Much littler brother.
It's only like five stories
still,
or something.
Well, yeah. It's still stout.
But for us, that's the closest thing we had to...
That's right.
You know, anything like that. So
the Grand Tan ran up and down that thing?
Yeah, Grand Tan ran up and down that thing all the time. And anyway, so we had, as is wont to happen, the Paul Blarts... came and mall copped us out of
it. I don't know. It just bugs me.
Yeah. I'm with you. Well,
I know they're just doing their job.
Sure.
But,
But it's poor leadership is what it is.
I don't know. They're doing their job.
Opinion.
I got madder at the guys I was in the workout with because they were like, oh, thank you, sir. We'll move out. I was like, don't thank them.
Oh, is that what a shoulder talker is?
Yeah. That's what a shoulder talker is. I'm like, they're just doing their job. I said, yeah. Well, police officer's doing his job. He gives me a ticket. I don't thank him.
Right. I'm not pleased. I'm
like, yeah. Well, I get it.
Yeah. No, I don't think that... I don't blame the guy who throws us out. I look up to the guy who says somehow that us being there is some sort of security threat and must be eradicated. That's what I don't understand. Who's that guy?
Is there that guy?
Sure it is. I guess it's a liability
thing.
So
I was grousing about that as we ran away, and I said, I guess that's my libertarian streak. And one of the guys, of course, a lawyer we were with, Purple Rabbi, says... That's really I don't see why you call that a libertarian streak. It's a socialist streak because that's private property and you're demanding it be open to the rest of us. Like, shut up, Purple Rabbi.
Right. Now I'm going to throw you in traffic.
Particularly if you're right. He's right about that. Just a bias.
Right, no, I'm with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's a dumb bias.
Yeah, yeah, I love
Other
it.
Other than that, you know, I was joyful that it opened back up. We ran.
Yeah.
You know, in a 45-minute boot camp workout, when you'd run almost 5 miles, you're just running, man.
Yeah, and you're hustling, too.
We were hustling.
Yeah. I went on Saturday and ran the Midwood 6.
Mid-6.
Yeah, with Slaughter and a small group. I guess it was like 8 of us.
Oh, up there. Here?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, came up yeah.
To,
we used to call that the Mid-Weird 6.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. So
how'd
I ran that.
How'd it go?
And it was good. Mr. Bojangles was the cue. He had us run this loop, and it was the way it ended up was about 4 miles in. You ran a very fast mile. So it was like a speed mile.
Sure.
And then you finished up with like a cool down mile.
Right.
You know, I'm getting faster ish.
Yeah.
And I kept up with these guys for, you know, 3.5-4 miles or whatever right. It was until we got that far. And then some of these jokers, what's that guy's name? Tilted Kilt.
TK yeah. Ran with him on Friday.
Yeah. And
he looks like Pacquiao.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. 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 Anyway, this guy, 4 miles into a run, he bangs out like a 5:40 or
That's
something.
That's him.
Yeah. I felt so bad. I'm huffing and puffing, getting in there, you know, like 7:10 or yeah. something. And I've, you know, it's 4 months right. and they're all standing around. I was like, you guys cooled off yet? You know, how long you been waiting? Sorry.
Well, yeah. It make yeah. you feel worse that the day before.
Right.
TK ran a 8:08.
There you go. And probably the same speeds.
About, well, no, we did a two warm up, 4 hot, 2 cool. And the 4 hot was about 7:05, 7:05.
Oh my gosh.
And he had no trouble. And he yeah. was, the other thing he was doing was I was cutting corners through parking lots and stuff.
Yeah,
he was doing every
He's full
edge.
Competent. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was yeah. like, it's amazing.
Stop it.
So that's why I keep dragging guys from Fort Mill up to Metro.
Oh, well,
so they can see good. And they say, look, this is what we should look like. This is what we could do.
You're yearning for something more. You're a yearner.
I'm a yearner. Yeah.
You're darkest of all yearners.
Let's not change another name.
Let's go ahead and roll the opening.
Oh, good call. And we're back.
Well, that's great.
You're listening to 43 Feet, a podcast about leadership. We believe that real leading happens out front, but that means you're probably building the next 43 feet of good road for those behind you while you're running the race yourself. My name is Frank Schwartz, known in the gloom of the early morning as Dark Helmet to my F3 brothers, and I'll be joined every week by some of the greatest leaders I can find in F3 and beyond. We're going to answer your questions, pontificate wildly, teach virtuous leadership, and otherwise attempt to help you navigate the next 43 feet.
yeah,
That's
so there we
great.
Are.
That's just great. Okay, so let me tell you what I've been, what I watched.
I was just going to ask, so yeah. what have you watched?
I watched Death of Stalin.
Oh, that
and
sounds
man,
cheery.
Is Death of, well, for those of us who...
Spoiler alert, he's dead.
Freedom lovers hated Stalin.
Well, sure,
but
doesn't make it cheery.
Death of Stalin was great.
Was it?
Well, as you may predict, it was about his demise. And I had recently listened to a podcast,
mm-hmm.
And I'll come up with. It was called "What We Saw," and it was about an 8-part podcast that started with the. Soviet, the communist revolution.
Okay.
And went through Gorbachev and the wall coming down. Now, of course, for me, that had particular resonance since I was in
sure.
stationed in Germany when the wall came down, and I was part of the security force for Pershing Missile Command, which, you know, was missiles that could
yeah.
reach Moscow. So we were part of that whole tripwire strategy. And so, you know, I guess I'm a cold warrior, all that.
Yeah.
So I listened to it, and I knew a lot about it already. The topic, you know, it used to be a much more compelling topic, you know.
Sure.
If you grew up in the 70s like I did. So, less so now, you know, because some people don't really remember, don't know, millennials don't know.
Exit. Yeah, they didn't even know there was
yeah,
a wall.
That's right. Yeah. Or they know, but
it's like a paragraph somewhere right. in one of their history
Same
books.
Same kind of person be like, oh, I like that Che Guevara guy. Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, right? I know. I don't know if you know this. Yeah, kind of a bad guy.
But anyway, one of the episodes was coincidentally about this period when Stalin died. So, you know, Stalin runs the Soviet Union for about 20 years,
right.
and he runs it basically as a criminal conspiracy. I mean, he's just
yeah,
a,
he's mafia,
a gangster, basically.
Yeah.
Half crazy, purges all the time.
Yeah.
And he would force, he had this tight little inner circle that had Beria in it, who's a Secret Service guy.
Mm-hmm.
and it had Khrushchev in it, who takes over for him.
Right.
And Khrushchev is played by Steve Buscemi, which is odd casting if you think about it. But he did.
I always thought. I've seen pictures. Like, isn't Khrushchev supposed to be like a big fat guy?
He pulls it off. But physically, he pulls it off. But the way, and I listened to this in a podcast, the way Khrushchev survived, every guy in that inner circle survived, didn't get purged. Like Molotov was in that too. They all had something that allowed them to do, whether they're a buffoon or something like that. But Khrushchev was a buffoon.
Okay.
So one thing Stalin used to make everybody do in this inner circle is they were constantly having a drink. They would have these drinking parties and at Stalin's Dacha, which is like a country, you know, house that he lived in. And there was a pond behind it, and they would often end up, and this is not in the movie, but it was in the podcast, so drunk that they'd end up in the pond. Just frolicking. And
Fine,
like the KGB filled in the pond because they were afraid someone's going to drown. That's how bad it was. So one
some Tiger King behavior going on.
Khrushchev is depicted as going home drunk, and they had no choice but to get drunk. They all had to get drunk.
Right, right.
And they would watch Westerns.
Like American Westerns. Okay.
So Khrushchev goes home, would go home routinely, and while still drunk, tell his wife everything that had happened and what Stalin had laughed at and what he hadn't. She would make notes. Next morning when he was sober, she would read them back so he would know. That's fascinating.
That's amazing.
Because if you said the wrong thing,
you
likely toast. Get yourself killed. Anyway, Stalin drops dead. This is the death of Stalin.
Right.
Nobody even does. Like, for a day, they don't do anything. Finally, they go, and he's had a massive stroke. They go to find a doctor. They can't because they've purged all the doctors. They've purged all the doctors. Any doctor who's got any skill, they've purged. Yeah. They're left with a couple of kooks and a couple of old guys. Stalin lives for a little while and then dies. And then the rest of the movie is about this idiotic jockeying for power, which Khrushchev kind of engineers and manages to get Zhukov, who's like a war hero, who somehow survived. On his side, and they end up taking Beria out, and Khrushchev takes over. But it is, if you want to know what the end state of centrally controlled collectivism is, it's
there.
That.
It is
absolute power invested in one lunatic, the rest of them doing whatever they can do to hang on.
Yeah,
but there's some really funny scenes where Khrushchev, Buscemi, will be saying something, like taking some strongly held position, because that's the kind of company line. For instance, he's talking about Molotov's wife was a traitor and all this stuff, and she had actually been arrested. And little does he know that Beria has gone and released her, and she's walking up the stairs. And as in the midst of him saying these things, she walks to the door. He changes in once.
Miss a beat.
She's a complete traitor. It's she deserves nothing. And she walks in the door and is like, but the fact that she's here now with us should make every single Soviet citizen proud. That's actually not a bad Buscemi imitation.
That's not fair.
Yeah, and so it was. It's hilarious because that's the kind of stuff they had to do.
Yeah.
But I would. I give that a high recommend.
Yeah. And
death.
Is a death of Stalin.
Death of Stalin.
But was it a Netflix or a?
It's available on Netflix.
It is, okay.
For those of you who would wish to watch
it.
I haven't caught the last episode of Last Dance, but I'll do that tonight.
Okay.
So I've watched all. Good. I've watched eight of them. Have you started watching that yet?
I have not started watching that yet.
I know you're not a sports fan, but you're going to
No, I'm not a sports fan, though. Yeah. No, I think I will enjoy it. I've seen some clips.
It's a great leadership.
Yeah. I've seen some clips that people have put out there and stuff. And you know, it's he was an intense, strong dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he was a true disruptor, man.
Yeah.
He's a true disruptor.
Yeah.
But talk about a grudge holder. I mean, that guy hadn't forgiven people for good stuff 20
years.
Like, let it go, man. Can't do it.
Nope.
Can't. Yeah.
What was the one that
no can do?
Who did it? I can't remember who tweeted it or Facebooked it or something, the one where he was like, well, yeah, of course you feel that way. You never won anything.
Yeah, you know, right. That's what like, guys never won anything would say. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Well, it's like, there's no I in team. He's like, there is an I in win. I love that one.
That's so good. Yeah, I mean, you know,
there's a lot of them. He's a very charismatic and funny guy.
He is, and so I got so that brings a good or a question anyway. Is do you have to be that level of uncompromising in order to achieve great things like he achieved?
No.
Okay.
No, I think there was many things he did that were unnecessary and excessive, and more out of his own personality than
his leadership, whatever. But
he has a particular leadership style, which I recognize. I've seen other men who have had that leadership style, which is driven, relentless, but also very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes seat of the pants leadership style.
Yeah.
I never realized how funny the guy was. I mean, he's funny.
Yeah.
There's that one scene where he's cracking up about, there's a guy in the 90s who was a famously good defensive player named Gary Payton, and his nickname was the Glove because he'd be on you like a glove.
Okay.
And they're interviewing the Glove, and the Glove said, that he had this one or two games in this championship series where he believed he had worn MJ down.
Uh-huh.
And they put it on an iPad and show it to him.
Uh-huh.
And he just cackles, leans back, and he's like, the look on his face is hilarious. AP sent it out. If you saw that,
I saw that.
And he says, the glove. And this guy goes, no, I didn't have a problem with the glove. I had other things on my mind that day.
Yeah,
and
he's like, I'm good.
He wasn't going to admit that in a million years, but it was his reaction to that is what I found so hilarious. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's pretty funny.
Crack me up.
All right, so Death of Stalin. Watch The Last Dance.
Yep, and I don't know what I'm going to watch next. Kind of in a little bit of a show hole or even a movie hole. Might have to go back and break out some old stuff. I don't know. But something always comes down the pike.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the, with the amount of content.
Well, I know what I'm going to watch next. I'm going to watch next is Arkansas.
Oh, I don't know that one.
So that's another one of the Vince Vaughn kind of compromised character. Vince Vaughn's had this second career.
Uh-huh, kind of this anti-hero kind of. What was the one he was in where he was in the prison?
Yeah,
I watched that.
Sprawl and Cell Block 99.
Is that what it was called? Yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember. Yeah, it was. He was really good.
Yeah, so he's made a bunch of these. You know how Liam Neeson kind of had a second career as a second career as this kind of father trying to save his daughter thing. It's just like, there's like 100 of them. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Taking
25.
Yeah, right.
Like, how many? I saw one
on a train. It wasn't even his daughter. It was just some random. Train coming out of New York, going up into Connecticut, and he's like, has to fight this thing. But they're compelling. But
they're
fun. Vince Vaughn has done a similar thing. He's kind of, he went through this comedic part of his career,
right? Wedding Crashers,
and that's not really. They don't really do that anymore. And now he's got these other roles that he plays, and I've watched several of them, and they're really good.
He's good. Yeah.
Arkansas. It's about the Dixie Mafia, which is your southern. Southern Mafia.
Moonshiners or something? Or
no, what? Drugs.
Drugs, okay.
Marijuana,
okay.
Drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. The
just typical.
Meth Hills kind of stuff.
Yeah. So if you watch the series Justified, that they refer to that quite a bit.
Okay.
The Dixie Mafia. Because it's not ethnic, Italians or,
Right, right. It's just a bunch of good Southern boys.
Bunch of crackers.
Yeah.
Cracker Mafia.
Up in the hills.
Yeah, so I think I'll watch that that next, and then I'll report to you.
Oh, good.
Darkliest of all.
Yes, I will anxiously await said report.
Good. As you may know, filling a void, Charlotte Metro has determined that they don't believe the BRR is going to get run this year.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And they have, they call it the King of Queen. I was calling it QCBRR.
I thought it was King of the Hill or something like
something
that.
Something like that. Anyway, they were going to run a faux version of the BRR here in Charlotte using three pretty terrible routes.
And I have not run all of those routes before. I've run, because and guys who know, and guys who don't, these names will just sound silly maybe or whatever, but I have run the Bonesaw.
Bonesaw's horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
I ran that with Slaughter. It was awful. But I did the 12.
So called because when you look at it on your Strava afterwards, it looks like a bone.
It looks like a bone.
Yeah.
It is literally just peak, 12 peaks. If you did it right. If you could manage to finish it in the hour, which we did.
Yep.
And then Horsey McHorseface.
Yeah. That sank's horrible too.
Yeah.
So, which
I've heard tales of.
That's horrible.
And then the mother.
Sweet Mother. So yeah, run it. Well, it's already a tough route. Sweet Six is tough route.
And then you go up the mother twice, right?
Go up the mother twice. You throw that on, gets you to about seven and a half almost.
So it's three in, up the mother twice, three out.
Yeah. Well, it might be a little
give or take
three or four. Yeah. So you give or take.
Yeah. So I've run that,
You have run that.
Well, I don't know if I run that route. I've run to the mother.
Yeah.
And up the mother twice. And,
oh, I see.
And
okay,
down before. Yeah. So I don't know if it was that exact route.
It's
horrible.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. And it's all, I mean, it's like.
So you have to do those three. And if you're doing a 12 man, you do those three. If you're doing a 6 man, you do those three twice.
Yeah, that's so every
stupid. Which of course means I'm going to do it.
Right. I was going to ask. So who's on your team?
Oh, so
you're going to do a 6 man because
doing a 6 man.
I know you.
But this is was a kind of a source of a little comedic hilarity.
All right.
Or
something.
Idiotic hilarity, yeah, within our little group because. You know, we have Rifty, which is ripped at 50
right,
guys.
Right.
Right. So we often do
Checkpoint and
Hillary, mm-hmm, and Baby Jesus.
Yeah.
And Baby Jesus saw this and he said to the rest of the Rifty guys, let's run this. To which Checkpoint said, I can't. I'm on this other 6 man BRR team. So I said, okay. Then the next morning we were doing 8 on 8 and a couple of guys start talking about how Checkpoint was recruiting them. And I was like, well, what do you mean recruiting them? They went on that team. And he's like, he was building a 12-man team. I said, what's going on here? So we get to the end of the run, and it turns out that he had been, wasn't on a 6-man team at all, recruiting a speed team, like a stud, uh-huh, speed team,
yeah,
to win the thing.
Uh-huh.
And he sent like one of the texts he sent to one of the guys said, do you want to be on a fast team? So the rest of Rifty took that.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a kick.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was an affront to
those
of us who can't. Well, Checkpoint's correct. I mean, they did go out and get.
He is very fast.
Yeah, they did go out and get a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
But still, do you want your face, you know, shoved in a pile of your own slow poo?
Nobody wants that.
No one's asking for that.
Yeah.
Right.
I kept tweeting, I am forming a team.
You are going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to bring guys up from the fort?
Yep.
Who you got?
So far, I have
Shady.
Semi-commits. Shady. Yeah, I got Shady and Maximus. And
you do not have the Mountain Buffalo?
No.
Are you guys?
The Mountain Buffalo took one look at us and was like, yeah, there's no way.
You guys are not doing a 6-man, though?
No, we'll do a 12.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do a 12.
I would recommend a 12-man.
Yeah. Because each guy's going to run, if I understand this correctly, each guy runs two routes.
Three.
I'm sorry. Each guy runs each of the routes.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're on a 6-man, you run it.
It's about 18 miles.
Twice. Each of those twice.
If you're on a 12-man, you're running about 18 miles. If you're a 6-man, you're running about 37 miles.
That's not happening for me.
That's and it's 37, just jack.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
That's not happening. I can't do that.
I recommend strongly against it.
Yeah.
The question is, of course, I'm going to do it. So, question is,
you're a little bit different place.
Question is, because I'm stupid. The question is completely stupid. So the question
utterly
is
utterly pointless.
How do we do that and replicate the BRR bonding experience? So some discussion is going to be had about doing it from a centralized location, like a team. Like
yeah.
It's just camp somewhere.
Right, which, yeah. Because this was theoretically going to replace the Gomer as well, which has already been canceled.
And the Gomer is a clover wheel.
Right. It's a Ragnar style-ish kind of a thing where you
like time lapse.
Yeah,
right.
A camping spot, and then you go out, run your loop, and back.
Right.
And
time lapse, which is also here in Charles, also canceled. So yeah,
so it's replacing a number of things.
But where are we going to camp? Is the question.
I have no idea. Top of the mother.
I recommend not the top of the mother. They'll run you off of there.
I know.
But I recommend camping in a Walmart parking lot.
There you go.
You know, and then if you get harassed to say you're homeless because the SIPO says
they can't
homeless guys can do what
you
they
do
want.
Whatever you want.
To me, that seems somewhat cynical, dark, and not in the true spirit of F3 love and blood.
Probably not, but
you know, what the heck? These are desperate. You know what, Darkly?
Yes.
These are desperate times.
And desperate times call for desperate measures.
And we're gonna implement.
So we'll do what we have to do.
So that's what we're gonna do. And like, I think it would be funny to find out that we ran BRR anyway.
Right.
After all,
end up going and doing it.
Yeah. After all that.
Yeah. If you need a driver for BRR, let me know.
You're not driving the BRR. You're gonna be running it.
I will not be running it.
Yes, you will.
That is a negative.
The part of your memoir that I'm writing already has that in there.
Well, then maybe it's next year.
You know, I got the chance to lead some virtuosity on Saturday.
Yeah, for the Texas, right?
Erstwhile Fort Worthians.
Yes. How did that go?
It was 43 guys.
Oh,
and
I like what you did there with the number.
Yeah, well, we obviously can't control that. I tried to get my man Howler Monkey to film it. Like, oh, I like yeah. to have an yeah, external right. guy doing it. He couldn't do it.
And you didn't even call.
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't have gone, but you could have called.
You were running the
midweek. I was running. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I was
so anyway, it worked out fine. I did it in my driveway.
Okay.
In the farming village of Cotswold, yeah. And a lot of neighbors could not figure out what the heck I was doing.
Yeah, when I did the Puget Sound one, you know, of course that was here. It's 9 o'clock, and so everybody's out, and you're running up and down the street. And down, yeah, it's yeah, they're looking at you weird, but that's okay.
Yeah. So, but it was good. I didn't realize. I'm sure you did, being the El Presidente of the nation. I didn't realize that Fort Worth is only a year old.
Mm-hmm.
And had grown. I mean, they had 43 guys on the virtual, so that means, you know, they got a pretty good
Well, and not
base.
All those may have been, some of those might have been outside of Fort Worth.
I don't
but
know.
They came, I mean, I don't know either.
They,
but no,
they
but
told me it was all Fort Worth guys.
It could very well have been. And Fort Worth has grown. Well, Dallas, I tell you what, man, All Right got down there and just started, what
but
do we always say?
But Dallas and Fort Worth are not that as close as I thought.
I think that's where they spun off from.
But I thought they were like Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Mm.
But these guys are telling me there's like 30 miles distance.
Yeah, but Dallas still launched Fort Worth, I'm pretty sure.
No, okay, yeah, no, I'm with you there. I'm just saying.
So I'm just saying he got down there, got a critical enough mass that then they were able to.
And he came down from Greensboro, North Carolina, right?
Is that where it was?
I thought so.
It was somewhere up this way, but I don't remember exactly.
But the guy that's the guy who planted this, who's the Nantan now, came from, I want to say, Birmingham.
Which is another
miracle.
Another Toledo miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just keeps keeps rolling along.
It is amazing.
Your boss, Ethery Slaughter,
yes,
the COO of the shoot and match,
mm-hmm,
gave me a briefing on what the 10-year anniversary is going to look like. He had apparently spoken to the site cues down there, and I guess you were part of that.
Yep.
And I'm not going to do a reveal of all that because I'm sure you guys have a plan to roll that information out.
We do.
But it sounded fun, fascinating, and fantastic. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. There are going to be parts that are going to be really, really cool, and just going to be some neat stuff that happens. And there's going to be some parts that are going to be absolutely horrible.
Well, that's great. Yeah,
which is how it's supposed to be, I think.
That's great. So, there's a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So themes are good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, man, I'm just...
And it's not Viva Las Vegas.
It's not Viva Las Vegas.
So you don't have to come dressed as Fat Elvis.
No, or you... And for those of you guys, and there's, as we established...
Yes.
There's a costume wearer in every region. You can wear a costume.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make any sense at all.
As established by Hello Kitty.
If you're listening to this Hello Kitty... Wear a costume. Don't even concern yourself whether it makes any sense.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
You doesn't matter.
Come as a sandwich board. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Come as a giant Oscar Mayer wiener.
Yeah. In fact, pull up in the wiener mobile.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's going to be fun. We're expecting 40, 50,000 people. No, we're expecting...
We estimate somewhere, we're kind of hoping for around 1,500 packs.
That'd be
and
pretty
their
amazing.
Families.
That'd be pretty amazing.
So we're thinking there's going to be probably, you know, 3,500 people, 3,000.
And we're going to sit everyone down in a giant field in groups of 50 and hand out fish and loaves.
Oh, no, no.
No.
Oh, we could do that.
We
right?
could do that. Yeah. No, we're going to do a bunch of events. It's going to be great.
No, it's going to be really good. And
the Cape Fear guys have this well in hand, it sounds like.
Yes, they do, and I've been really impressed with the planning that they've done and the work that they've done, and the enthusiasm that they have behind it. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun. The they've got the facilities pretty well mapped out, exactly where we're going to stay and the banquets and all that kind of stuff, where those are going to happen to accommodate all those folks.
Wow.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good plan.
And so, if you're not from this area of North Southish Carolina, and or never been to Wilmington, you're gonna like it. It's a nice town.
Yeah, I mean, if you are some kind of weird beach hater, then it may not be your jam.
Although we're not really on the beach, right? Are we? Okay, yeah, I didn't realize that.
We will be for parts of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because Wilmington itself is not actually on the beach.
Right. But we're going to be...
Wrightsville Beach, obviously, is on the beach.
That's where we're going to be mostly.
Down in that area.
So.
Starting to leak out a little information.
Yeah. Darkliest of all. I'm just saying, there may or may not be a convention center, and it may or may not be attached to an embassy suites. There may or may not be some rooms in there that are going to be blocked off, and it's pretty close to the water. And yeah, we're gonna get... There will be parts. You'll be getting wet. You'll be having fun. It'll be good. It'll be good. We did say, and guys were asking questions like, well, what if, you know, what if SIPO is not all the way lifted by then? And what are we going to do? And blah, blah, blah. To which I won't say who said it, but they said, look, if things aren't open by then in such a way that we would be able to have this kind of event, we're all going to go and just Jim Jones it. And just be like, this is the last stand. We're done here.
That doesn't sound good at all. Well, let me know if you're thinking about implementing that. Cause
we're not.
I do get a vote, I think, on that.
Right? Yeah. But they were like, man. No call for that. If we're still locked down by January, though, a lot of guys are just saying they're going to give up. So
I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think by BRR time we'll be able to do it, but I think
by January.
I just, you know, anecdotally looking out the window, I just see a lot more activity and
things
are loosening up, and that's, you know, that's good. It seems like a lot of regions are back in action.
I'm sorry, a lot of what?
A lot of regions are back in action.
For sure.
You know, Metro's back in action, obviously. Yep. And
and I will say, and you've been hashtagging things Smart Start.
Smart Start.
Yeah, which I think is great. And
I came up with that.
But I know.
I self-marketed that. Really hard.
I know. But I would say I've seen a number of places that I would consider, you know, they're being careful.
Yeah.
Guys are trying to be smart about things. They're not just, you know, busting the doors off and, you know, running all over the place. Like, they're controlled. And because there's a number of guys, even in the regions that are, you know, quote unquote open, that are still, they're just kind of a category 2-3 person, and that's just sort of where they feel most comfortable, and that's fine. Or they may have some kind of immunocompromisation in their family or wherever it might be, or they come in contact with high-risk individuals, and so they're still doing a lot of virtual workouts still. Or you might live in a part of the country like Dos Equis or C-SPAN or those guys where...
Well, New Jersey, they'll never let those guys out.
Yeah. I mean...
Not never. I mean, it's going
to
be...
You can go outdoors, but you have to wear a mask, and you cannot do these things, and you cannot do those things.
Oh, well, I've seen some videos out of Pennsylvania. I mean...
Some scary...
Well, no, they're starting to get a little angry at.
Oh yeah.
I saw one though. This morning, it was a police officer, chief of police, going to a gym. And it was near Philadelphia. But I think it's in what's it called? What's the suburbs of Philadelphia called?
I wouldn't know.
Just on the tip of my tongue. It's funny. My family's from there.
Oh, there.
And I can't remember what it's called. Anyway. My grandparents, not my parents. Their police chief went to a gym where there's a bunch of people there and told them they were out of compliance and told them to be safe and left. Didn't arrest anybody.
Oh, well, there you go.
And couldn't tell where it was, and I saw it was outside Philadelphia.
Was right outside Philadelphia.
So luckily in North Carolina we haven't had those kind of incidents.
No, and I was when and Cooper said it, McMaster said it. So when that's North and South Carolina governors, you know, both of them said, hey, look, you know, these guys are going to be judicious. They're not looking to run people down and, you know, arrest you for not having a mask on in the Kroger or in the Harris Teeter or whatever, right? I mean, that's not what they're looking to do. They're just trying to keep it as safe as possible. And so, you know, I think we've had a pretty good go of it here. But there's places in the country where they have not.
How we can help with that is to be reasonable.
Yeah. And while sometimes my nature...
Try to be.
Yes. I'll say sometimes my nature indicates to me that the unreasonable answer is what I want to do. That's why you keep good men and women, my wife, around to counsel me and tell me that's probably not the way to handle certain kinds of things. And so,
hey, I got a mask in my back pocket, and I'll pull that thing out when people are wearing masks. And there's no point in antagonizing.
I don't need to antagonize anyone.
Nope.
Yep. In fact, I just told Dredd, and I probably shouldn't even admit this, but I was going to have my wife put. I'm not going to say that.
That idea was antagonistic.
It was a bad antagonistic idea.
So along those lines. There's oftentimes, and I'll get to a little leadership stuff.
Okay, I was just going
to transition. Where you have to set yourself aside
yeah.
how you feel about something and kind of center yourself in the organization.
Right.
So both you and I are to the Cat 4 side of this.
Yeah.
Both believe that herd immunity is the ultimate. It's got ultimately where we're going. The spread of C-19 can't really be stopped.
No.
Ultimately, everybody's going to have to get it and let's, you know, protect the vulnerable. You know,
best we can.
Right. Yeah. But there's a lot of guys who don't feel that way. That's not that position is not the center of the organization. And as a leader, right. you have to center yourself, and that means putting aside your particular feelings about it. So, yeah. you know, getting back to the security guard thing, for instance, I'm just a rebellious person.
You tell me
yeah. what to do, and I'm going to tell you how I'm not going to do that. And, you know, it's a job of a security guard to tell you what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And it just, you know, of course, I want to rebel against that, but yeah. that's not the center of the organization.
No.
And as a leader, you have to set that. You have to set yourself there and plant the flag there, and not get too attracted to the part that you're drawn to.
Yeah.
And have guys there to kind of pull you back to the middle, kind of the way if you see like a giant cell phone tower has those guy wires mm-hmm. holding it in place. That's tension, right? You got tension right. to the north, tension to the south, tension to the east, tension to the west. And that holds it in place. And I personally need that.
Same.
I think, you know, most leaders need that.
Yeah.
Leaders who don't have that, i.e. Stalin.
I was going to say,
you know,
end up in a drunk in a lake somewhere.
Right, end up doing just crazy stuff.
Yeah, murdering everybody around them. Yeah. In fact, we just had this discussion as the leadership team of the nation. So me and Fib and Kitty and Carmen and San Diego, you know, all these
right.
guys.
The
right?
brain trust.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, we're talking about something and they were asking a question and I said, you know, candidly, I don't think I should have an opinion. So I'm just going to kind of back out. And they were like, well, no, what do you think? And I said, well, I think this, but I know my bias is to lean, you know, X way.
Right.
And then instantly here comes, you know, Fib with what I consider to be probably the most well thought out, you know, best plan of attack, you right. know, all that kind of stuff. Right. And I said, see, this is why, you know, this is why Fib is necessary. You know, this is why we have to have
sure.
these things, because I'll be out in the middle of nowhere.
That's shared leadership.
Right.
You know, and I would rather do it that way. I think it's much more effective than
I think it's safer. You know, I think it's much more
it's more prudent. Effective.
Yeah, it's much more effective. Yeah. Well, it keeps you from ending up in a ditch, right? I mean, that's one of the guardrails that you
sure.
have is those guys.
Well, right. you know, if you're a leader, you'll lead everybody into the ditch with you, which is
and that's the problem.
Which is the issue.
Well, and so that kind of brings us around to the topic of the day or whatever you want to say is which is influence. And there's lots of ways to influence people. Lots of ways. Now we
lots of styles.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair. But we want to...
I think there's two essential means.
When we say we define it as igniting that desire for a man to
right, the palpable move. Desire.
Yeah.
Igniting a palpable desire for movement and heart of another man. So there's
but,
there's
so probably... when you say there's styles...
Right.
Okay. Because I was thinking there's coercion. There's...
I mean, well, that's not influence.
That doesn't count as influence.
Right.
That's not a style of influence. That's just something different.
That's not influence.
Fair.
Right.
All right.
Right. So, you know, if you got to back up, you know, mm-hmm. and say, well, it's why there's so many capitalized words in the Q sources, because we're saying, no, this is what this means.
Yeah.
This means this. So, for instance, you know, a big part of what we say is we're losing the definitions of words, right? This is what Goo Nation does, is denatures
yes.
words, erodes them.
Yeah.
So recently, for instance, the AP style book said that the word mistress is no longer appropriate. You're supposed to say companion or lover.
Yeah, just
now, I'm like, I get why.
Did you though?
No, here's why.
Yeah.
Because if you take a man and a woman in an adulterous mm-hmm. affair, right? The man kind of stays the man. The woman becomes his mistress.
Okay.
Right?
No, that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
she's tarred and he's
right,
not.
Right, he's not.
I get that. I think there's... But once you take the word mistress and you denature it, companion, a woman who's having an adulterous affair with a married man is not his companion.
No.
Right?
No.
Not, she may be his lover.
Would you say adulterous word. Companion? Could you say that?
I don't know what you're supposed to say, but I think, you know, who would be most likely to object to this? It would be married women, right?
Sure.
Like, you know,
right.
hey, honey, my companion is on the phone. I
mean, she's like, that's right. not...
Your companion stopped by, you know? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really work.
I'm your companion.
Right? But it also, but it just causes confusion, right?
Right?
because you're not using a word, you're taking a word away. I saw that the UN had a list of words they want changed because they wanted to redefine them, and one of them stuck out to me. And this is the kind of the typical thing: don't say mankind, say humankind.
Fine.
Yeah. And, you know, fine. Okay, that doesn't really disturb the sense of the word, but here's one it does: don't say landlord, say owner. Okay, here's my problem with that as a lawyer: you can be an owner of a parcel of real property and not be a landlord because you lack a tenant. You occupy it, right?
Right.
So, for, you know, the, we have a lot of landlord-tenant law.
Yeah.
And thousands,
and you would jack it all
probably
up
millions of printed materials, cases that go back and statutes that say landlord-tenant. And you're going to substitute out owner-tenant? I mean, it doesn't just, it doesn't, it, the word is loses its meaning. Right. And at some point, we cease to be able to communicate.
And that's why language is a foundational principle of
that's why
virtuous leadership.
That's
right?
that's kind of why it has to be. Now, take that back to the idea of influence, why it's a capital I.
Yeah.
Influence. Because if you denature the word to mean it gets anybody moving, yeah, you can influence somebody by coercing them.
Sure.
But that's not the kind of influence we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about the kind of influence that initiates voluntary movement from the status quo, and it initiates voluntary movement for status quo because you've done something as a leader to want the person to move. You've ignited, now picture like a fire, right?
Yep.
A palpable, something that could be felt.
Yeah, touched.
Right? Touched,
physical,
felt, right?
Yeah.
Desire, right, in that person to move. Something that you have done has influenced them to do that. Yes, you could force them at the point of a bayonet, Che Guevara style, but that's not really influencing them, right? That's compulsion.
Yeah.
Or you could lie to them. That's chicanery, right?
Yeah.
So compulsive chicanery is the opposite of individual initiative. You know, if you lie to them to get them to wear their masks, for instance, or you threaten them with jail to get them to wear their masks, have you really gained anything? Because as soon as they find out the truth, as soon as they get far enough away from the point of your bayonet to do otherwise, they're going to turn on you and rip their masks off.
Right.
So you haven't done...
I've seen my 10-year-old daughter do that tons of times.
You know, what you have to do is convince them. That's why we say, persuade me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Convince me. Open to to be convinced, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can be persuaded.
Change my mind. Persuade me. What are your best facts?
Yeah.
Right. So that's why influence is so different. And that's why we capitalize and say it's different. Now, I say there's many styles, but there's only really two means, and those are the things you do and the way you, the things you do and the things you say.
Uh-huh.
So the things you do and the way you do them, and things you say and the way you say them. Now, there really isn't anything else that goes into influence, right? As soon as you start talking about, well, we make a law, whatever, a rule, or that's compulsion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you've moved out.
We're talking about something you do or you say and the way you did it and the way you said it that another guy says, I now want to do that, or I want to move away from where I am. So I'll give you a great example that works so well. I mean, I just love every time it happens. Every time one of these guys, and it just happened the other day, posts one of these Wozniaks.
Yes.
And this was a guy from...
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember where he's from.
South Carolina, Hartsville maybe, or one of those towns.
Okay.
You know, I apologize because I see so many of them. But I remember the guy's name was Judge. No, I forgot the guy's name. It was Judge somebody. I guess he's probably a real judge. Maybe not. But this dude lost 300, went from like 325 to like 150 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous amount.
And he's got these incredible side-by-side photos.
He looks like King Kong Bundy, Jabba the Hutt something to this trim.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, I put that thing on Facebook and just say, this is a typical, you know, was
right.
now.
Right, yeah.
Right.
This is where I was.
This is where I was.
Then this happened.
Greenwood. The guy's from Greenwood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I knew
what
you were
talking about.
Guy's from Greenwood, South Carolina. Great place, right? Greenwood Miracle. This guy. That thing has gotten like hundreds.
200, it's ridiculous.
And then just list of guys. And then all, you know, these other guys who see it, who are also have a weight problem or looking at it and going, man, if that guy can...
Right. Or the guys that have been there and they said, that was me.
Right. So here's something this guy did, the judge did, right? He lost all this weight. And the way he did it was coming at three and having his brothers help him.
Yep.
And the way he said it, because he said, you know, then I weighed all this and I couldn't do anything about it. Now, five CSOPs later, all these runs, countless boot camps.
Yep.
And you look at that and you go, man,
If that doesn't make you want to do better.
Palpable desire. So if you're a guy encased in fat someplace,
right,
hating the way you feel, hating the way you look, and then you happen to stumble on that on Facebook and you go, boom, inspired.
Yeah.
I want to say a story, and I hope somebody catches it and tells me where these guys are, because a little bit, because this is back sometime, about some guys who did their cafeteria at a particular Starbucks, I think.
Okay.
Coffee shop. And they would come in there afterwards, and you know, they're getting better shape, and there was a barista working there or something. Uh-huh. And it was a woman, not a man.
Okay.
And she was very obese, and she ended up losing all this weight, and one day says to these guys, well, you guys just coming in here.
You know, yeah, no, I think I remember you telling
that. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic story. It's like, because they weren't even trying.
No, just their example was enough.
Right. So at our, you know, where I do we do the Whetstones when it's open, mm-hmm. you know, Poppy's here is where I still go in there every morning, you know, and get takeout. There's a particular woman who works in there, a little older, a little out of shape, and we do a lot of workouts around here. One day she says to me, what are you guys doing? And I explained it to her, and she goes, oh, man, I wish I could work out. We can't go to a gym. And I was like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I said, all you got to do is get up 10 minutes early tomorrow and walk.
For 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes.
Yep.
About 3 days later, I walk in there to get it. She goes, I did what you said. I had no idea what she's talking about. I said,
you're like, and I'm got like, me a bagel?
I'm oh, like, no. I hope it was something good. And I said, that's great. Tell me about it. And she said, I got up 10 minutes early and walked. In fact, I've done it for 3 days. That was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then a couple days ago, she said to me, I went to this boot camp workout. Some boot camp workout. Uh-huh. She went to at her church or something. Uh-huh. And she goes, I said, how was it? Yeah. She goes, it was exhausting. She goes, but it's every Saturday. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start making my walks a little longer so I won't get so exhausted by it. I'm like, wow. You know? Right. I mean, it was nothing all I said was you could walk. What she had seen, and it probably wasn't even me because we got like 10 workouts out in front of here.
Sure.
She saw, we've got field workouts, we've got F3 workouts right here. She saw all these regular, you know, knuckleheads like me out here just working out, not worried about a gym, walking around with cinder blocks, helping each other. And she's like, if those people can do it, I can do it. Ignited a palpable desire for movement in her heart. And all it really needed, so I think we were sitting there like a tinder keg. And then she said, no such thing as a tinder keg.
Keep going. We know what you meant. Powder keg.
Powder keg. She says, all she really needed to do was like one tiny little match.
It's a brick, man.
One tiny little match to that thing and ba-boom, you know, it blows up. That's all it really takes. So if you just think about the things you're saying and the things you're doing and you observe how they impact people,
mm-hmm.
how it does, what people do, how it initiates movement and whatever works for you. That's why I say there's many, many, many different styles of how to do it. And then you find out what works on the kind of people it works, and you just do it, and boom, you're going to get that kind of that kind of movement. When you see it, man, it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Franklin, you know what I want you to do today?
No, but I bet you'll tell me.
I want you to go out and ignite some movement. Will you do that?
I will.
I mean, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
That face, that mug you got.
Yeah.
It's still great for radio.
Ah, good thing it's a podcast.
It is.
It is.
I can change the world with my own two hands, make a better place with my own two hands, make a kinder place. Oh, with my own two hands, with my own two hands.
Thanks for listening to 43 Feet, a leadership podcast. If you have questions about F3, leadership, or anything else, write to us at questions@43feetpodcast.com. Tweet us at 43feetpodcast, or find us on Facebook at 43 Feet. While you're there, give us a follow. Also, if you like this podcast, share it with a friend, rate us, and write a review. It really does help others find us. Until next time, we'll be out here in the unknown, the uncomfortable, the difficult, the 43 feet out front.
A brighter place. I'm gonna make it a safer place. I'm gonna help the human.